Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Did you get the message? You know, that's the real question this time of year, not did you get what you wanted? Did you get the message? Maybe you didn't get what you wanted. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctor's office. Maybe you got a bad report from your credit bureau in the mail. Maybe you were under a storm last night. Maybe you received, on the other hand, Christmas cards with photos and various messages that you will treasure for a lifetime. But did you get the message? That's the question. Did you hear the voice of God? You know, I don't want you to confuse Christmas music over the radio or hymns or anything else with the voice of God. Did you hear it? There is a song, "Did You Hear What I Hear?" That is really the question, isn't it? Did you get the message? Have you followed Him so that you hear yourself the whole unadulterated message of His love for us? Did we get that message, or did we get confused along the way? Did we listen to the people who wanted us to hear all kinds of other things? Did you get the message? Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we ask You to come into our humble hearts and allow us to hear with ears afresh the message. May we really hear it. May it change us. May it transform us. May it call us to arms because of what You've said. May it, whatever that message is that You have destined that each of us should hear, warm the cold places in our hearts and make us happy, blessed, to see the face of the One who says it. Father, wherever we are, whether we're in hospital rooms or whether we're watching on television or listening or watching on 138 some odd people around the world who draw down this sermon from our internet every single solitary week. Wherever we are, may we truly hear You today. Not me. Father, as always, I ask that You cast my words out. They're not worth hearing. But Your words are. And we've gathered to hear those words today. So will You please speak to each and every heart that's here? For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John? It says in the first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own. His own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What did you hear? What did you hear? You know, sometimes we don't hear because we ignore the source. We hear politicians say all kinds of pleasing things that are made to tickle our ears, to tell us that there's a chicken in every pot. But we discount them because we consider the source. We realize that these people who proclaim to be just like us, I'm just like you, I came from humble beginnings, are not like us at all. Not even with all their focus groups and all their surveys. They don't understand us. So we consider the source. They don't get it. And so we just turn them off. We turn our ears away. We turn a deaf ear to those voices. Sometimes we don't like what we hear. It may be true, but we don't like it. It doesn't kind of conform to our way of thinking. And so we ignore it. Let us start with fresh eyes and ears and hearts and reflect upon who John, who is writing these words, really is. I know that there is a popular notion that you've been taught, that all of us have been taught, that John is just a kind of a feminine fop. You know, we are told in the Bible that Jesus loved him. Well, Jesus loved John the Baptist, too. He said that John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of woman. You would never consider John the Baptist an effeminate fop. But because we have this notion in our minds that John is some sort of effeminate fop, then Leonardo da Vinci, in his great work, The Last Supper, portrayed John as some sort of woman-like creature who lays his head upon Jesus' breast. Nothing could be farther from the truth. It's just not true. John was a fisherman. He lived a pretty good life. He and James had fishing boats. They were a part of the fleets that went out on the Galilee and sought after fish. And fish were purchased by people who could afford them, and that meant that they had a really strong middle-class life. And John left the fishing boats where his hands would have been raw from the nets that he pulled in, and he would have had muscles rippling up and down his arms. He left that life, and he went out into the desert to follow John the Baptist. He left the food behind, the culture behind, everything behind, in order to become a disciple of John the Baptist. He ate what John ate. He ate wild honey and locusts. He was a part of the movement that prepared the way for Christ's coming. He was living out in the wilderness. I can see him in the River Jordan grabbing the robes of the people that were there, the high and mighty priests, and throwing them down and baptizing them without getting their permission. And then one day, John the Baptist saw Jesus walking toward them, and he said to his disciples, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John, I'm sure, looked too. It wasn't anything about Jesus, we are told, that was comely about him, that would draw men to him. He wasn't some tall, blonde-headed, blue-eyed Jesus. He wasn't what John had in mind for the Messiah that he was helping John the Baptist prepare the way for. He wasn't a David coming up with an army behind him to overthrow the Romans. But John said something else. He said, his sandal straps I am unworthy to undo. And so at that, John, who wrote this that we've just read, left John the Baptist behind. And he went to follow Jesus for a couple of days, and he suddenly realized that Jesus was the real thing. He was the real deal. He was the Messiah. And so he went and got his brother James and brought him back. Does that sound like a milksop to you? Somebody who was willing to give up everything the world had to offer in order to follow Jesus. That's who John was. John was a man after God's own heart because he was a man who loved Jesus Christ and understood who he was. I'm sure he was shocked that people didn't understand, that they didn't get it, which is why he writes that he came to his own and his own didn't receive him. He couldn't get over that because he had received the divine inspiration of Jesus. There's nothing about Jesus externally to make the difference. What John discovered was from the words of Jesus something that transformed his life. John was sure of the deity of Jesus. He was shocked by the fact that people didn't understand him. They could hear the same words he heard. They saw the same acts, the miracles that John himself saw. But people rejected Jesus. They weren't willing to give themselves totally to him, as John had done. John reflects this as he says, he was in the world and the world came into being through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own people, but his own people did not know him. Why not? I want to know. Why doesn't the world understand who Jesus is? I am persuaded personally that all so-called Christians are greatly deceived. Jesus came to us with a message that we reject. We don't like it. We don't like what Jesus said, and so we've decided at least that part of our life is going to be ours. We'd rather rule and reign our own life. We'd like to form our own opinions. We'd like to have our own message of our life be heard. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's saying that Jesus was and is looking for a home. But he finds our doors locked. The doors of our heart are locked. We do not receive him or his message. Jesus may have gone away from your locked door this Christmas because you hung a "Who Do Not Disturb" sign on the door of your heart. Maybe you didn't get it. Maybe you didn't hear the message. Maybe you were too busy shopping for others or unwrapping presents that they had given you. That's the way it's always been. We keep our doors locked. That's a common reaction. That's the way it was when Jesus first came into the world. You remember? He was born and placed in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn. Foxes have holes, he said, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus is homeless in every sense of the word because we don't give him a home in our heart. That's the reason. People do not accept him. Why? Well, maybe it's the message. Maybe it's the message that he speaks. Maybe it's the message that he lives. He lives a message. And we don't want to hear it. We don't like it. We don't care for the message. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Now, the Jews thought that Noah was no good Samaritan, that the only good a Samaritan had was to give his life and water the ground with his blood. The only good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. Why? Well, because the Samaritans were half-breeds. They weren't pure stock. Have we heard that in our lifetime? Sure. Yeah, and it was something else. That the Samaritans, they worshiped God in a different way, on a different hill. They couldn't have anything that the people, the good people, the people of Christ had. But Jesus flies in the face of all that, doesn't he? He shows then the Good Samaritan, the people that are supposed to be righteous, the good people, the people that were there for him, walk on the other side when they see a man wounded and laid on the side of the road. They're not going to get their hands dirty. They're not going to get involved. They're not going to get engaged with the hurting people. But that's who Jesus came for. He came for the mentally ill, the hurt, the ugly, the unwanted. Jesus said he didn't come for the righteous, but for those of us who were sinners. That's who he came for. They were half-breeds. They had bad feelings about them. The Jews didn't like anyone who wasn't just like them. But not so with Jesus. He came for these outcasts. And he paints a picture that shocks us even today, because we say, who is our neighbor? And Jesus says, your neighbor is the thief. It's the prostitute. It's the ugliest person you can imagine in your mind. It's the terrorist. Who is your neighbor? Everybody is your neighbor. It doesn't matter what skin color they have or what language they speak. It doesn't make any difference. God doesn't care. He doesn't care if we're Presbyterian or Baptist or Church of Christ or Holy Rollers. He doesn't care. He came for all people of good will. That's his message. And the only person of good will in the story is the Samaritan. That message discovers our prejudices. It makes us feel uncomfortable. We don't like it when the wino is exalted. We don't like it when the thief is exalted. We don't like it when someone of a different race or a different religion or a different way of thought is exalted. But Jesus says, that's just because of our message conflicts with our comfort zone. We don't want to hear the message. After all, who is our neighbor? Jesus says, he's your enemy. He's the outsider. He's an alien. And that stuns everybody who hears it. Jesus is defying the orthodox dogma. All the things that you go to church to hear, he defies. He says, no. He doesn't let us indulge ourselves with religious sentimentality. He makes friends and neighbors of those who are considered to be the scum of the earth. And we convict him. Came to his own, and his own rejected him. We not only rejected him, we convict him. We say, Jesus, he's just anti-Jewish. He's anti-American. He's anti-comfort. He's anti-this. He's anti-that. Well, let's crucify him. Because he's a traitor. Came to his own. He made them. And they reject him. What do we expect of the Christmas season? Do we expect someone just like ourselves? Oh, I've been in various churches. The one that tickles me the most is the cowboy church. I love the cowboys. Don't get me started on that. But The cowboy church, everybody dresses up like a cowboy. They have cowboy music. And they're just, you know, if you go in there with a tie, you get it cut off, you know, because they're cowboys. And they have rodeo, you know, and they do all kinds of stuff. They're cowboys. They come in wearing boots like me. But you can easily be an outsider in that group because they've become so insulated that they don't want really anyone to come into their group that's dressed differently than they are. The mentally ill, the homeless. What do we expect? Do we expect Jesus to be just like us? Come in and sit down and make us feel comfortable? Do we expect that he'll just be a someone we recognize as the way we live and approves of it? He has a great big stamp. I approve of the way you live. You just continue on just like you are. You're just good. No, Jesus doesn't do that. Someone who maybe speaks our own language. You speak Spanish or English or whatever language your first language is. That's the one we want. We just want somebody who speaks like us. I want him to be a conservative. I want him to be a liberal. I want him to be an independent. I want him to be the, you know, whatever. We're not getting the message. We're not getting it. And that's not the message that Jesus brings. He comes for the outsider, the alien, the poor, the hungry, the sinner. He looks not just on the outside. He looks on the inside of the heart. His voice comes to all who come, all who are ready, whether they're in Africa or whether they're in England or whether they're in America or whether they're in Mexico or wherever they are. He calls out to them in China and Japan, every place. And they respond in their own way. He loves the hated Samaritan. That's the message. That the way is open to everyone. That Christmas is for everyone. He went to the cross so that everyone would have the birthright of knowing eternal life with him. Doesn't matter if they worship on another mountain. That's not the message that he brings. He brings a warm message that we're to share with everyone we meet. The message of Christmas is that the good news has become the birthright of everyone on earth. That's the message. I wonder, have we all said yes to Jesus? Have we hidden his message in our heart after having unwrapped it? You know, a lot of times we get a present, we just don't even unwrap it. My wife on the way over here was telling me about a gift she gave one of our grandsons, and we realize now that the gift makes a loud noise because it was a balloon. You push it and push it and push it, and finally it burst. And he ran into the kitchen when we did Christmas crackers the other day. He doesn't like those loud noises. He doesn't like it. So he's probably never played with it. He probably never even unwrapped it. Jesus may be a challenge to you. He may challenge your life. He may turn your life upside down. But you have to unwrap it. And you have to allow him to use you if you're going to truly follow him. Have you allowed that message to transform you? Has it transformed you? Do you look at one another through his eyes? Do you hear one another with his ears? Do you touch one another with his hands? That's the message of Christmas. And I'm afraid many this year have missed it. I walked in here and someone told me how They love the Christmas Eve service. A lot of people miss Christmas Eve service. They have family. They have other things. Maybe you missed the Christmas Eve service. If you missed the Christmas Eve service, you missed a really good time. But that's not the same as missing Christ. Because when you miss Christ, you miss forever. Jesus wants each of us, wherever we are, whatever our status in life, He wants all of us to leave what we're doing, pick up a cross, and follow Him.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.